Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to the Area Fishing Report on Radio Fishing. And as it says, we're going to be getting more on a regular schedule. Things working out, getting back. I got Robert in the chair across from me. I got Captain Brian Ball with us today. We're going to give you an Area Fishing Report. Find out what's up around the harbor, the freshwater, the saltwater, whatever water it is. Somewhere there's water. All right, morning, guys.
Good morning.
While I was adjusting and getting everything in, and I still don't have us all the way up. I mean, I'm almost there. Hang on. What the heck's going on here? Come on. There we go. Connecting. And
it's right click, left click.
Yeah, right click, left click, and the idiot in between. All right, we're live all the way around. And Fish and Frank, Robert, Captain Brian Ball, we've got all the stuff up. All right, so I've heard talk about iguanas. I heard talk about Deep Creek and bass fishing. What's going on out here, guys?
Well, one thing's for certain, Frank, that it's fixing to start pouring outside.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the continuing trend here over the last week.
It's been... Now, outside of just killing my pocketbook and probably yours, my wallet is much thinner, but the harbor's much cooler.
Yep. You know, we needed the rain, but I'm not quite sure if we needed this much rain.
Well, actually...
Not in a short period of time.
It's more about the cloud cover to me, because the clouds is what cools everything down. You know, people talk about nuclear winter, and you really go, yeah, well, it's scientific mumbo-jumbo, but just in the last couple of weeks, we've had so much cloud cover... The harbor was in the high 90s, you know, water temp, surface temps were around 100 degrees, and now I'm hearing reports anywhere from the high 70s to mid 80s, and
much better.
That cloud cover has been amazing to get this water temperature down, and the Gulf, we're now 2 degrees cooler, or 2 degrees warmer than Pensacola, and actually 2 degrees cooler than Key West, who's been getting no rain and no cloud cover. Actually, our water's cooler again than the Keys.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Gulf temp has dropped. We're back down below normal for our area. So, all good. I mean.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I wish I had the money, but on the other hand, you know, I'm happy for the fish. This is much better for them. Lots of oxygen, lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was up with the iguana thing? What was going on with that?
Well, I remember growing up spending a lot of time on Boca Grande, and we would always see tons of iguanas. And then I don't know exactly who it was or how they went about doing it. I've heard different rumors, but I know they tried to basically wipe them out due to the eating the foliage of all these multi-million-dollar homes out there. Those people finally complained
and
enough.
And burned into their attics and everywhere else.
They had had enough. And it seemed like for a while, I didn't see one for years. And in the last, like, I don't know, month, 2 months, pretty much every time I'm around the island, if it's somewhat sunny out and you're looking, you'll see one.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing those big monsters. You know, most of them are 2 foot at the longest, but...
Yeah, it's one thing about nature. If they're not 100% gone, they're not 100% gone.
Yeah, they're coming back.
I got the same problem with those stupid little crazy ants at the house. I go around and just spray everything, kill everything. I mean, I feel like the Terminator sometimes, you know, everyone will die.
That's and, right.
And then a month later, I'm like, are you kidding me? There's ants everywhere again.
Yeah.
So, you know. It's just one of those weird parts of nature. Let's step it back into the fishing realm and go Deep Creek. The ponds, the canals, the Port Charlotte canals, the Hillsborough Canal.
Absolutely. Anytime you get this big volume of rain, it creates a lot of flow through the drainage systems over there, and the bass love it. It makes for some fun fishing. You don't need a boat to do it. Hell, you can eat cheeseburgers in between holes, you know, while you're riding around in your pickup truck. It's pretty good stuff.
Now, there's a lot of freshwater fishing here. One of the things, I did get an email from a guy who wants to go out and have his freshwater fishing trip of a lifetime, and I have no idea who to send him, because that's pretty much more of an Okeechobee, Trafford, Istapoga, more of a lake issue, and we don't really, you know, like you say, you can go bass fishing here with a pickup truck and a fishing pole because you drive up and walk there. I would recommend a good pair of boots right now.
Yeah.
Lots of weeds, lots of stickers, lots of burrs, and it's, but you know, you can just walk up to the water and cast and catch nice fish. A lot of 7-8 pounders being caught right now. Frogs are a big thing this year. Huge thing in the freshwater fishing. We've sold more frogs this year, you know, during this last season than I can ever remember going through. I have no idea what it is with the whole frog thing, but usually it's been a worm issue for years. Now it's frogs.
Huh.
Top water frogs. I guess the guys are just into that big blow-ups.
Yeah, I've been hearing from a lady that I know. She does a bunch of bass fishing over like Lake Placid area, and then she fishes the big lake a lot over there, Okeechobee. And she's in love with these Livingston lures.
You're talking about Kim.
Yep.
Kim. Yeah, there's only one Kim.
Yep. I mean, Kim Flowers, man.
Yeah, I mean, she's just a force of nature.
She is on the radar big time in the bass world.
I actually bought Livingston lures just so Kim has a place to go buy them.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we're carrying
What's the deal with that? It has like an electronic kind of chip in it that puts out a sound?
Yeah, it's a sound emitter, and they've got saltwater and freshwater versions. I'm not really sure what the difference is. The way these lures work is they have two electrical contacts that will stick out of the body somewhere. They're very unnoticeable, little tiny things, but the water connects, makes the connection. That's what turns them on. So when they're dry, there's no water to make contact between the two electrodes. The water acts as the switch. So once you throw it, it starts making its beeping or humming or whistling, or I'm not sure what they do.
You're fishy, fishy.
Yeah. It's a little tape recording underneath the water going, you're fishy, 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 you're fishy, fishy.
I'm going to have to buy one and get in the pool and have my son throw it, reel it by me so I can hear it.
You can just lay it in the water. It'll work just laying on top of the water.
That's too easy.
Yeah, I know. It's a little less dangerous.
Three-year-old treble hooks and me in the pool sound like a good time.
That's kind of my vision. The first thing I'm thinking of, three-year-old boy, treble hooks, fishing rod, dad in the pool.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah,
I want to see if he can jump and clear the water.
Right?
Yeah. You might want to pinch the barbs down. We did order a whole bunch of single hook replacements for lures, and I'm also working with one of the factories on developing a barbless double hook for the front, like a frog hook that you'd be able to put on the front of the lure. And because a single hook in the front of the lure is not, it doesn't work that good.
Yeah.
And the problem with the treble hooks is the barbs and all that. So what I'm working on is we've got a bunch of the single hook replacements coming for the back of the lure, but I'm working on developing a double hook, like a frog hook, where it's just, and you just loop it over and put it right through the ring, and you can have it fold up against the body or hang down from the body. But it'll, most lures are designed with the treble hook acting as a rudder and a weight.
Right. That's what I was going to say. When you put that single hook, a lot of times it'll make it want to swim kind of sideways.
Yeah, they don't swim right. So what I'm trying to do is replace that with a barbless double hook. Because you don't need the barbs in the front hook. Having the single hook with a barb on it is good enough. And that way, even if you get stuck, I mean, there's not a lot of dangerous issues with that once you go to double hook in the front with barbless.
Right.
But getting back to the fishing, where are we going to start around the harbor, Robert? I guess upriver, Navigator, the water treatment plant, even a little bit in Harbor Heights. And, of course, there's gar. Of course, there's catfish. But right. The big story is...
Tarpon are starting to move up there. We're starting to see, finally, the river starting to flow, not just out of the side creeks, but the main river. And a lot of those fish, for some reason, seem to know that. So you're getting some tarpon starting to move up there. Basically north of the 41 bridge, east of the 41 bridge, whatever you want to call it. And they're looking for those tilapia and Mayan cichlids that are starting to get flushed, along with all the other native and non-native exotics that are just getting flushed with that water flow.
It's 7.5 feet in Arcadia right now, with a cubic feet per second of 2,010 cubic feet per second coming down the water. So
it's a lot of water.
That's a whole lot of water.
No, it's a little less than what it should be at this time of year.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be about 2470.
Let this storm that's coming today.
Yeah, we'll
kind of polish up on that.
We'll see what happens, but it's actually a little less. It was quite common back 80s, early 90s for there to be 10, 12 feet in Arcadia at this time of year.
Really?
And 14, everybody, you know, kind of got wet feet up there. But
I always find that amazing. Go up there. In the past, I've owned an airboat. At this point, I do not right now. But go up there in the wintertime on those super low tides, and, you know, it's basically dry once you get above, like, Iron Lake for the vast majority of it. I mean, you can run it all on an airboat, but there's hardly any water. And then you go up there in the summertime, and you're like, well, where's the actual river? Because
it's so wide.
I'm halfway up this oak tree that before I was parked underneath barbecuing, and now the whole tree's underwater. It's just, it's amazing how much water comes through that area and how it goes up and down like that.
Yeah, and it's really critical, I think, to be part of the harbor. And I know we're supposed to be doing the area fishing report, but I keep hearing more and more about these pole and troll zones with push pole and trolling motors, and I'm absolutely against them. I've been against them forever because they're not for Charlotte Harbor. They are for Tampa and the Keys. They work great there. They will not work here. When's the last, how often do you dream of going into Ding Darling and catching fish?
Never.
Okay, it's a no motor zone. It should be full of fish.
Right.
According to all these people with their push, pole, and trolling motor zones, that should be full of fish. It's been in existence for what, 15 years, 20 years now?
Yeah.
In no motor zone? Now, if this no motor thing was good for Charlotte Harbor, every one of us would dream of going to Ding Darling and going fishing.
Right.
It's in a great area. It's in a, you know, good location. Should be lots of fish there, but there's not.
Right.
It does not work down here because the grass gets so thick, it all dies, every, and then it starts decaying, sucks all the oxygen out of the water. Everything every summer there is dead.
Yeah.
Now, not bad in the winter. It can be excellent fishing in the wintertime, but in the summertime, everything dies.
I think there's certain areas of our harbor that would benefit from maybe not like a
slow speed zones,
yeah,
is what we need.
Exactly.
We need to be able to idle through the places.
Correct.
Keep the outboard motors, the thrust of our propellers keeps the grass, because otherwise it gets all covered with that algae and funk and it kills the grass anyway.
Right.
And then that kills the fish.
Well, that's courtesy of PGI.
So, well, PGI, the farmers,
septic
tanks. It's not courtesy of me because I'm not fertilizing my darn lawn. It grows too much now. I want it brown in the winter. I want it green in the summer.
Right.
I don't have to cut it all the time. I'm not fertilizing it.
Yeah.
I asked Robert, what kind of grass do I have? He says, grass. You don't have any grass.
It's got a bunch of weeds that are green.
He says, you got a green weed lawn here. I said, perfect.
Just like mine.
You know, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, here comes the rain. Hopefully it doesn't shut us down getting all into this. But anyway, that's just one of my pet peeves, is that trolling motor and push pole zones are no good for our area. Now, we do not need to be running these shorelines and flats at high speed. It's kind of like the reason I want them to go slow is not because I'm that worried about it, but you ever heard a motorcycle coming at you like a Harley with very, very little exhaust pipes, very loud Harley?
Mm-hmm.
If he's coming at you at 20 miles an hour, you hear him coming and you hear him going. But when he comes at you at high speed, you don't really hear him until he's right there.
Yeah.
Because most of the sound is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with an outboard motor on a boat. With an outboard motor at on planing speeds, most of the noise is behind the boat. And the fish, critters, and stuff cannot tell where that boat is until it's almost too late.
Mm-hmm.
That's what messes up the fishing. And it creates a lot of silt, and the silt gets on the grass, and yada-da-da. So by just simply slowing down the boats in areas, we can idle back in and idle out. Now, I've timed it takes maybe 10 minutes to go from the sandbar to the outside of the islands on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
So for an extra 20 minutes a day on the trip, it would be worth it to me.
Everyone would benefit from it. The fishing would be better.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can argue that.
And if they put the no motor zones in, it will be excellent. You get about 2 years out of it. Somewhere not long after that is going to start killing every living thing there. It's for the first year or 2 years, everybody's going to be going, see, you were wrong, it's great, this is perfect. And then it will go catastrophically, horrifically wrong. And I mean, it's a fact. I mean, look at Ding Darling. We already have a no motor zone, which should be the best fishing down here, and it is all summer long the worst.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that the other night, because everybody keeps telling me, I keep telling them, no, this is wrong. So
I think it would just, you know, depend on the amount of tidal flow where you have. That's why it works so well in the Keys, is because you have so much tidal flow there, it's not going to kill the grass.
Exactly correct.
If you have, there's areas that it would work and there's areas that would not work.
It just doesn't work in Charlotte Harbor. In 10,000 Islands, it's going to work because they have a 4 foot a day tidal exchange.
Right.
We have 2 feet and less. We just, you know, it just doesn't work here. So anyway, I'm off my rant. All right. What we're going to do is take a quick break and come back with an area fishing report. So you don't have to listen to all this to get to your fishing report. So we'll be right back with our show. Don't go away. We got Robert, Captain Brian Ball, and they're going to tell us where all the fish are all around the harbor. Don't go away. We'll be right back.